What should you craft in MTG Arena Standard? A post-ban best of one field guide. Margo here. The cabinet is open, the lights are low, and the details matter. Using Puzzlewick's affiliate links is one way to support this guide, at no extra cost to you. Do not craft a full best of one deck because one page labels it Tier 1. On September 7, 2026, MTG Arena Zone placed Mono Red Aggro, Burrow's Auras and Mono Black Midrange in its editorial Tier 1. Treat that as a dated shortlist. Inventory your collection, test the play pattern, count rare and mythic wildcards, separate reusable lands from narrow cards, and wait when the deck depends on a card likely to be re-evaluated at the next announced policy review on October 12. Arena makes crafting feel like clicking open on a solved answer. It is closer to welding. The card joins your collection permanently, while the metagame, bans, and your own tolerance for a play pattern continue moving. This guide does not crown a universal best deck. It teaches how to read one dated best of one snapshot, compare its leading archetypes, and decide which missing cards are worth permanent resources. Experts can use the same framework to explain uncertainty instead of hiding it behind a color-coded tier. Freeze the date before reading the tier. The September 7 MTG Arena Zone Best of One page lists Mono Red Aggro, Burrow's Auras and Mono Black Midrange in Tier 1. Azorius Oculus, Burrow's Burn, Celestia Rabbits and Azorius Enchantments appear in Tier 2. Golgari and Dimir Midrange appear in Tier 3. That is a useful map of one editor's current field, not a transparent census of every arena match. The page does not publish a universal sample, confidence interval or complete worldwide win rate table. Broader standard results and best of three events answer different questions. Write the source and date beside every tier claim. If the date is missing, the list is decoration. If the method is missing, it is a shortlist, not a verdict. The date on a metagame page is part of the claim. A list published before a ban, rotation or release may still teach sequencing, but it cannot describe the present field without a new sample. Save the page, note its scope, and compare it with current legality. Tier 1 is not a permanent card characteristic. It is an editorial conclusion attached to a place and time. Margo says, a tier list without a date is a horoscope wearing deck sleeves. The August bans changed the question Wizards banned Badgermole Cub, Stormchaser's Talent and Gran Gran in standard effective August 10. Its pre-ban arena evidence placed Celestia Offense above 57% match wins, with the second highest play rate. That number belongs to the named deck and pre-ban period. The clean response is not to recycle the percentage as if it describes September. Remove the banned cards from candidate lists, recheck every card's legality and treat post-ban rankings as new evidence with a shorter history. Wizards announced October 12 as the next review. A nearby policy date does not forbid crafting. It raises the standard for expensive, narrow, and untested crafts. Archetype choice begins with decisions you enjoy repeating. Monored often asks whether to develop another threat, preserve damage, or trade tempo for reach. Burrow's Auras asks how much to invest in one creature and when protection is worth holding up. Mono Black Midrange asks which exchange preserves the best future hand. A strong deck with an irritating decision loop is an expensive way to avoid playing. Margo says, numbers have passports. Check where and when they entered the argument. A tier label is not a crafting instruction. Tier labels usually combine expected field presence, results, matchup spread and editorial judgment. Different sites weight those ingredients differently. A deck can be powerful, poorly positioned for your rank pocket, expensive for your account and miserable for you to pilot. Translate the label into questions. What is the deck's primary engine? How does it close games? Which rares are shared with other decks? Which pieces are replaceable for testing? What did the source actually measure? If those answers remain foggy, import the list and play a proxy-style paper sample or watch several unedited matches. Highlights teach ceiling. Full matches reveal mulligans, awkward draws and the turns where the deck does nothing impressive. Inventory the deck in four columns: owned, common or uncommon craft, rare craft and mythic craft. Then mark every missing card as structural, replaceable or luxury. Structural cards make the archetype function. Replaceable cards have a lower power substitute for testing. Luxury cards improve percentages after the deck already works. This turns one frightening wildcard total into an ordered experiment. Margo says, The label is an invitation to investigate, not a receipt from the future. Choose the decision style before the colors mono-red aggro reward sequencing. Damage must be divided among combat, blockers and the opponent while the window is open. Barrow's Auras rewards leverage and protection. It invests multiple cards in a threat and must judge when that exposure is justified. Mono-black midrange rewards exchange quality. It asks whether removal, discard, recursion or a threat is the best use of this turn's mana. The games may last longer, and individual rare cards may carry more of the list's structure. None of these identities is a moral category. Choose the decisions you want to repeat for 20 games. A deck you dislike is expensive even when every wildcard was optimal. Mana crafts deserve evidence too. A dual land is reusable only across decks that share its colors, speed requirements, and legality window. An aggressive deck may reject a land that enters tapped. A slower shell may value its utility. Craft the mana for a tested family of decks, not because lands are always safe, has become the community's most expensive bedtime story. Margot says, do not craft colors. Craft the Tuesday evening you actually want. Spend wildcards from reusable to narrow, begin with exact missing counts. Then classify each craft as reusable infrastructure, flexible role player, engine piece or narrow payoff. A land can be reusable across decks, but worthless to colors you never play. A rare engine can be narrow, but essential to the one deck you have tested and love. Craft the smallest playable version first when honest substitutes exist. Do not replace a card whose text defines the deck, and then call the test representative. Record which substitutions change speed, mana, or engine density. Mythic rarity is not a synonym for importance. Four rare lands can matter more than a theatrical finisher. Conversely, a free mana base does not rescue a shell whose core engine is missing. Test the play pattern before completing the rare package. Arena starter resources, loner decks, direct challenge proxies outside ranked play when available, and lower rarity substitutes can reveal whether the deck's decisions suit you. The purpose is not to prove the budget version competitive. It is to avoid discovering after 12 rare crafts that protecting one creature makes you miserable. Margot says, a wildcard should have a job interview. Foil lighting is not a qualification. Use your collection as evidence. Not Destiny Roberts September 7 collection export records 251 unique cards, at least 455 usable copies, and 116 logged pack pulls. It also distinguishes exact quantities from three minimum quantity rows. Those numbers describe one audited account only. The method matters more than the totals. Export or inventory what you own, count exact gaps, flag uncertain quantities and separate collection convenience from deck strength. A deck that is two rares short deserves different treatment from one that needs 20. Do not let sunk cost choose the archetype. A nearly complete deck with a miserable play pattern can waste fewer wildcards and more evenings. The August bans are a reminder that refunds do not reimburse an ecosystem. Arena may compensate the banned card itself under its current policy, but it does not automatically refund every narrow rare crafted to support that card. Evaluate the shell's dependency. A deck whose value vanishes when one enabler leaves carries more policy risk than a deck built from flexible threats, lands, and interaction. Margot says, the collection is a map of available roads. It is not allowed to pick the destination. 20 test games beat one dramatic session split the trial into four sets of five. First learn mulligans, then identify losses caused by mana. Next record the opponent's engine and your answer timing. Finally track whether the deck's closing plan still works when the first threat fails. Record decision errors separately from draw variance. Kept two lands and never found the third means something different when the list is built to operate on two. Lost to a rare says almost nothing. After 20 games, change no more than three cards unless legality changed. Large simultaneous edits erase the evidence you just collected. Experts should publish uncertainty as carefully as lists. State whether evidence comes from best of one ladder play, best of three events, a tracker sample, or editorial judgment. Name the date and rank band when known. Do not merge paper tournament finishes with arena opening hand dynamics and call the result a percentage. Readers can handle limits, they cannot audit invisible confidence. Margot says, a five-game heater is delightful. It is also an unreliable financial advisor. Build a watchlist for October 12, create three columns. Safe to finish, test before crafting and wait for review. Safe to finish cards complete a deck you already use and have broad roles. Test first cards are essential but narrow. Wait cards are expensive, speculative, or tied to an unstable interaction. On October 12, read the official announcement before reading reaction headlines. Recheck legality in Arena and Scryfall. Then wait long enough for lists to adjust unless your goal is explicitly to experiment in the first unsettled days. This is not fear. It is sequencing. Wildcards are most valuable when they buy a known decision pattern, not when they buy relief from feeling behind. Use October 12 as a review checkpoint, not a prophecy. Finish broad staples only when they solve a deck you already use. Test narrow engines before committing. Hold expensive speculative crafts when a policy announcement or major release can change the field. The goal is not to spend nothing. It is to make every wildcard answer a question that existed before the craft button. Margot says, patience is a resource. Arena has not found a way to put it in a booster. Final verdict. Craft the deck you have tested, understand and can mostly complete, not the deck with the loudest thumbnail. Monored asks for sequencing under speed. Barrow's Auras asks for threat protection and attachment risk. Monoblack Midrange asks for exchange quality and patience. Your best first craft is the one whose decisions you want to repeat. Frequently asked questions. What were the August 2026 standard bans? Badgermole Cub, Stormchaser's Talent and Gran Gran were banned effective August 10, 2026. What decks were Tier 1 in the September 7 BO1 snapshot? MTG Arena Zone listed Monored Aggro, Barrow's Auras and Monoblack Midrange. That is a dated editorial ranking, not a transparent worldwide dataset. Should I spend wildcards before October 12? Spend them only on a tested list whose missing cards you understand. Wait on expensive speculative crafts or cards whose role depends on a volatile shell. Are dual lands always the safest craft? Number reusable mana is valuable, but only when the colors and decks you plan to play actually use those lands. Does a high tier guarantee a positive win rate for me? Number matchups, piloting, collection limits, rank, and the sources method all matter.